We know who we are, what we're about. It's just about playing each game. So we love the fight. We love the opportunity to prove to ourselves who we are now and who we're trying to be.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Friday night edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. Don't usually record after Friday night or weekend games, but I thought this final Clippers game of this little two-game mini-series was a good reason to do it. So, just got back from Chase Center. My story is filed to mercurynews.com. Four takeaways from the game. Go ahead and check that out if you want. Got a little bourbon poured here. Jim Beam double barrel. You can hear that. That was a big win for the Warriors. 22-point comeback. Steph pours on 38 points. Small ball lineup juices the offense. A lot of fun. And suddenly now the Warriors here have a winning record. They've strung together some nice games here. Look, you lose to the Clippers. It's fine. They're the Clippers. In that first game, that's okay. And look, this is not a team without its issues. But they're over 500. They're starting to figure out ways to win. Steph is going bananas. 38 points, 13 of 24 shooting, 9 of 14 from three-point range. After a really tough first half, I thought his percentages were okay. The efficiency numbers were fine. But he was at a really hard time just finding shots, and the Warriors were not going to win that game. There was a reason that they were losing. And the only reason they weren't losing by more, it felt like that they should have been losing by 40 points at the start of that third quarter. The only reason they weren't losing by more was because Steph was at least efficient, making a lot of challenging shots. But man, they were really challenging shots. And they were not going to win that game, even with Steph doing what it is that he was doing. And nobody else, by the way, was able to get going. So in the third quarter, Steve Kerr makes a change, takes Kelly Oubre out, who is struggling in the game, and puts Michael Mulder in. Now the Warriors have a three-guard lineup. Steph Curry out there, Michael Mulder, Damian Lee. There's a lot of minutes out there with Eric Paschal, a small ball five, a lot of minutes with Kent Bazemore, who had a lot of chemistry with Steph Curry. That seems to be a nice partnership. And Brad Wanamaker gave him some good minutes in the second half, too. And playing that three-guard lineup, going small with Eric Paschal at center, who is just completely... found his groove there as a small ball five. I mean, that is his role. I don't know if that's long-term what Paschal is going to be in the NBA. I don't know if you can maintain that. But he looks really good there right now, and that's all that matters for the Warriors. And they're winning games. It's not always pretty, but this team is deeper than they were last year. Steve Kerr has options. And that's what stood out to me in tonight's game. On a night where Andrew Wiggins didn't really get going until late in the second half and Kelly Oubre was unplayable, he's finding some lineups now that just work. And there's a lot more improvisation to how Steve Kerr is coaching now. Let's Steph play the entire third quarter. I mean, coaching with urgency. Steph plays the entire third quarter. And then they leave him in there in the start of the fourth quarter because they had the ball to start the period. And said, you know what, let's see if he can get us one more good possession before we take him out. And Steph goes to the bench, and then Eric Paschal gives him some really good minutes. They even extend the lead a little bit. The Warriors come back. I think they had like a 34-6 run or something like that. I mean, just dominated that second half. We're much better on the boards, rebounded much better, defended much better, got into Paul George, got into Kawhi. They never could really get going. Kawhi and Steph both came back into the game with 5 minutes and 15 seconds left in that fourth quarter. Kawhi immediately came in, scored a quick mid-range two-pointer, but didn't score again. Steph scored twice more. Andrew Wiggins got going. They finished the game. So look, I mean, this is a team that said that they're going to get better as the season goes on. I don't think that's rocket science. I think that every team is going to get better as the season goes on. But in the case of the Warriors, what they were those first two blowout losses of the season and what they are now, two different teams. They've gotten so much better. And so you're there now. Why wouldn't the Warriors? Why can't we be talking about the Warriors more like a playoff team? I think the conversation that we have with the, about the Warriors right now is sort of still a conversation that you would have about a rebuilding team. And yeah, they are rebuilding, but this is not a team that's lost. This is not a team that is struggling. Take those first two games out of the equation. That you didn't have Draymond Green in there. Steph Curry wasn't where he needed to be. A lot of this team hadn't been figured out yet. Andrew Wiggins hadn't yet gotten going. Yeah, I mean, take those two games out of the picture. This team's 5-2. I know that's not an exact science, but right now, 5-4, fifth seed in the Western Conference. A legitimate playoff team is a top six seed. Seeded 7, seeded 8, now you're in that play-in tournament. The Warriors would love to not have to deal with that play-in tournament. Portland's 4-4, Dallas is 4-4, San Antonio's 4-4. That's 6-7-8 right there. Golden State's 5-4, Utah's 5-4, the Clippers are 6-4, Phoenix is 6-3, the Lakers are 7-3. I mean, the Warriors aren't that far back. By the way, they get to play Phoenix and the Lakers on this in this little stretch here coming up. And look, Denver's there at 3-5 in the Western Conference. They'll bounce back. They'll be better. But the Warriors are going to get better as the season goes on, too. I think we need to start having a little bit of a different conversation when it comes to this Warriors team. The point differential is still not great, but that's, I think, in large part due to those first couple games. We're still going to learn a lot more about this team on this homestand and these next few games. Really tough, challenging games. But this is not a team that's lost, okay? This is a team that plays hard. They can have spurts. They're figuring out lineups and rotations. I like the ceiling of this team. You'd like to see them be a little bit more solid on both ends, a little bit more consistent on offense, a little bit more solid on defense. Still a lot of room to grow there. But they're figuring out ways to win some of these games, and they're getting up for them. And that's a lot of regular season basketball, man, is just showing up and playing really hard. This team plays hard. Got to give them credit. I'll tell you what was key to the Warriors winning that game next. But first, let's talk about betonline.ag. Look, it's the NFL wildcard round. It's one of the best betting weekends in all of sports. I'm already looking at the lines. I'm looking at the over-unders. Put some money down, man. Just give yourself a tip. Look, the Niners aren't in it. The Raiders aren't in it. If you're listening to this, you're probably a fan of one of those teams. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. They're not in it either. And the way that I kind of get invested in this sports weekend is put a few bucks down on the games. Just do it. What can it hurt? Not much. There's only one place that has you covered. One place I trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So with that, you're going to get half of your initial deposit back for free. Free money that you can bet to win more money with. Think about that. What a concept. That's what I'm saying. You have nothing to lose. Just put in an initial deposit, get 50% of it back, and then take that 50%, put some money on some of these games. Just $5, $10 on the game. Just see how it feels. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. It's time for the stat of the game. The stat of the game is 13, and that's how many free throws the Clippers attempted in that game. That's down from the Warriors' average of 30 free throws allowed per game this season. So they entered Friday night. They entered Friday night having given up 30 free throws per game. Last in the NBA, the worst mark in the NBA. They gave up 13 tonight. Why was that? Well, they didn't reach as much. They weren't as aggressive. And I thought they just tried to stay in front of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And they got him out of their rhythm. They doubled a lot. They showed a lot. early in the shot clock against Kawhi and Paul George. They like to run some pick and roll. They like to run some triangle stuff. And so you could tell when Paul George is sort of setting up for that high screen and roll action, you can show on him early, maybe try to force the ball out of his hands. With Kawhi, he likes to get that ball in the triple threat position. When he starts to kind of find that spot, again, it's easy to sort of to show on him, throw some bodies at him early on in the shot clock, early into that possession when he's trying to get the ball, early in the post, and just try to make him get rid of the ball. And I thought they did a good job of just getting their guys to get rid of the ball. It forces guys like Serge Ibaka and Lou Williams and those sort of guys who you're willing to live with most of the time, as long as Kawhi and Paul George aren't going. They were the Clippers' highest scorers, but they weren't really doing it from the free throw line like they tend to do. And so that's huge. And Steve Kerr going into that game was essentially pleading with his group, stop fouling at the end of possessions. Because the biggest problem with that team defensively is they don't finish possessions. I mentioned last in the league in free throws allowed. They're fourth from the bottom in rebounding this season too. So a lot of times they finish possessions. They force a bad shot. They force a miss. They get down deep into the shot clock, but they give up an offensive rebound or they foul at the end of the shot clock. And by the way, they did that a bunch in the first half. I had a running list of plays. It was probably half a dozen plays where they just did that. They didn't box out. Steph Curry had a hard time boxing out Patrick Beverley, who flew in for a few offensive rebounds early in the first half. And Steve Kerr gave the team a pep talk at halftime. Said, look, can't do that. You're going to win this game. It's going to be by boxing out and not letting those. You take away those second half points, it's a much closer game against a title contender team like the Clippers. So just take that stuff away, and then you got a chance. So that was the message at halftime. They come out in the third quarter. Steph Curry gives up an offensive rebound to Patrick Beverley. Steve Kerr calls a timeout right away. Gets into the team a little bit. Hey, what did I just say? So they go back out there, and they clean that stuff up. Steph cleans it up. He starts to get going on offense. They're getting stops on defense. They're getting out into transition and semi-transition opportunities. And that's all it takes. And then all of a sudden, you've got that. With the small ball lineup, Steph Curry has way more space. The Clippers can't get set in their half-court defense. There's more shooting on the floor for the Warriors. And instead of trying to finish through three or four defenders at a time, like he was in the first half, Steph Curry's getting, single-teamed out there sometimes. He's getting opportunities from 30 feet out. He's seeing the basket clear. And so that's, again, we go back to the formula for the Warriors this season. Steph Curry needs to score 30-plus a game. The Warriors, by the way, now are 5-0 when Steph has scored at least 30 points this season. They're 5-0. They haven't won a game when he hasn't scored 30 points. What does that tell you? It tells you they need to do whatever it takes to get Steph going. If that means some lineup changes, if that means some certain rotation patterns, then that's what you got to do. And it definitely means being better on defense, limiting second chance points, getting out in transition. Not letting the defense get set in the half court. That's what it's going to take. The Warriors have a Kelly Oubre problem. We'll talk about that next. Friday's on Locked On NBA. Join Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers and Adam Mattes of Locked On Nuggets for a wrap-up of the biggest stories around the league. Anthony and Adam bring you game recaps, weekend previews, and a weekly NBA power ranking that you just can't miss. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get podcasts. Remember, tune in on Tuesdays when me and David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat, host the Tuesday episodes. Let's go to Twitter for this tweet from Michael Lombard, who writes in, even if Poo Bray Jr.'s three-point shot gets going at a 35% rate like last season, he's still not finding Steph and is rushing bad drives into traffic nonstop. These constant hiccups prevent them from ever having a stable flow, which would unlock James Wiseman. Damian Lee or Kent Bazemore need to start. All right, so I'm burying the lead here, and I did it on purpose because my initial point of needing to change sort of the conversation we're having, the kind of conversation that's being had around the Warriors, that stands. That said, the takeaway from this game for a lot of people was that Kelly Oubre is no good and he needs to go to the bench. And there might be some truth to that, but it's much easier said than done. Kelly Oubre tonight, what were his stats? Wasn't good. 2 of 7 overall, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 0 assists. Team worst, minus 25. The Warriors were outscored by 25 points when Oubre was on the floor. It is not a coincidence that when they took him off, they immediately went on a run. I mean, immediately. Kelly Oubre came off the floor for Michael Mulder in the middle of the third quarter. The Clippers scored 2 points right after that substitution was made. And then they didn't score again for a while. The Warriors went on a 34-6 run and took control of the game. Oubre didn't play in the he didn't play again in the game. They did not put him back in for good reason. He was bad. And he's been bad this season. Now, I don't think Kelly Oubre is that bad of a basketball player. But he is clearly not figuring it out with this Warriors team. And it's not just the shooting slump, people. It's not. There are so many clips that you probably saw online. And I put them in my takeaway column, mercurynews.com, if you want to go find them there. He's just... What the Warriors need from their players on offense is constant movement. And he just doesn't do that. Right? Several times where he gives up the ball and then he just stops moving. And he's sitting there in a corner and Steph Curry is trying to go to that corner and he's pointing to Kelly Oubre. Hey, clear out. Get out of here. Run baseline. Pull some guys with you. Let me get open. And he's just standing there. And it's just so often, to Michael Lombard's point here, he's just in his way. He's just in his way. And you can't do that. And these are things that I'm sure have been pointed out this season so far, but he's just not paying attention. And it's just it's a bad habit where he gets rid of the ball and he just stands and watches the ball. No, you gotta get rid of the ball and then you keep moving. Go find a new spot on the floor. That's what this entire Warriors offense is predicated on. So yeah, he's in Steph's way a lot. But what do you do? What do you do with Kelly Oubre? Can you move him to the second unit? I mean, Kelly Oubre has missed 36 of 42 3-pointers this year. That second unit is thriving because of the spacing, because of the pace, because of the movement. Kelly Oubre is not a ball mover, and he's not a floor spacer. So you're going to infringe on what it is that's been a strength of this team early on. It's helped you win games. No, you can't do that. All right, you can't move Kelly Oubre to the second unit. What do you do? Do you swap his minutes rotation pattern with Andrew Wiggins? Andrew Wiggins is just sort of finding a rhythm. You really want to risk that? Well, Andrew Wiggins is averaging 20, or I'm sorry, Kelly Oubre, 27, 28 minutes per game this year. It's not a lot for a starter. You want to play him even less? I guess that's an option. But whatever confidence that he's already lost, and he's in his head, man, I'm telling you, he is in his head. He is not decisive. He is questioning everything. One of the things that Kelly Oubre did best when he came to the Warriors was his decisiveness. He knew exactly when he was going to shoot a three or he was going to attack a closeout. He is not that player anymore. Not right now. So you're going to play him even fewer minutes. You are going to sit him more and just hurt his confidence that much more. I don't know that that's the answer either. So, and look, you're not trading him at this point. Nobody's taking him. It cost you a first-round pick to get him. It'll probably cost you another one to just get rid of him, at least. So there is no easy answer when it comes to Kelly Oubre. I don't know what they do. I'm not going to end this podcast with an answer. I have no idea. I have no idea. Maybe do you just take him out of the lineup completely and just let him try to watch the game from the sideline? Maybe you do that. I don't know. But it is clear that this team is better when Kent Bazemore's on the floor. They're better when Damian Lee is on the floor. They're better when Michael Mulder is on the floor instead. You put some spacing out there. Hell, throw Brad Wanamaker out there in the starting lineup. At least there'd be some more ball handlers. Help to free up Steph a little bit more. I don't know. But something needs to give. Steve Kerr asked about it after the game, said he's not going to make any changes, that it's too early. I think I agree. It probably is too early right now, but we're not that far away from it being an appropriate time to make some sort of change. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here next week.